Oh, my bad. I've muted Zoom all along. I'm so sorry. Welcome, everybody, on Zoom, on Twitter Spaces, and then on our Facebook pages. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. It's the very, very last study in these pamphlets, and it's the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. By next week, we're starting a brand new manual. We thank God for his faithfulness in this particular session of study. We actually went through the whole books of the Bible. That's great. We want to thank the leadership of Christ Apostolic Church and the leadership of Christian Education Department for this amazing putting these things together and making us to go through the Bible. God bless you in Jesus' name. Jerry, are you in a quiet place to give us opening prayers, please?
Okay, sir. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, good
Let us
evening.
pray. Our Father in heaven, we say, blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord, for this place. Thank you for protection. Thank you for bringing us together once again from last week. We know that you are here, O Lord, to teach us yourself. And we pray, Lord, that your word will be expounded unto us afresh this evening. In the name of Jesus. In
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. So, yes, let's go straight. The book of Revelation, an amazing book. Memory scripture is Revelation 1, 18 to 19. This actually automatically divides the book and gives a kind of introduction of what the book is going to be talking about. So, Revelations 1, 18 to 19 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. This verse, especially verse 19, automatically divides the book. The book talked about the things which were, which happened before John saw this vision. Then the things which are, the things that were happening in the days of John, and then the things which will happen after the days of John, which is the end time and the end of age. What the things which were was the revelation of Jesus, revelation of the risen Jesus. Jesus has already risen. So that had already happened before John saw this vision. The things which are the things which are currently going on at that time were the letters John wrote to the seven churches. And in my opinion, that's the most important aspect of the book for us because we are the church. That letter, I mean, when we go through that letter, you will see that it is actually applicable or replicable to ourselves now. But the things which will happen after rapture, after the end time thing, the things that will happen after rapture, they are not so important because I'm not going to be around at that time. We are not going to be around. So yes, we should know them, but I mean, we're not going to experience them. So the things that are the most important aspect of the book is actually the letters to the seven churches. So permit me to share my screen for those of us on Zoom. Apologies for our Facebook and Twitter Spaces who may not be able to see who may not be able to see what I'm sharing. I hope Zoom can see my screen. Okay, so The seven churches.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. So the letters to the seven churches, we just briefly talk about them and like summarize them. The first church is the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus, their title or their characteristics at that time was the loveless church. This church had no love. They've forgotten their first love, or they've forgotten their first love. That was what the Bible says. But they had some commendation. They were commended for rejecting evil. They rejected evil. They persevered, and they have patience. The criticism is that the love, their first love, the love for the Messiah is no longer fervent. And they were instructed to do the works they did at first. Now, the second church is the church at Smyrna. The church at Smyrna is a persecuted church. I want to believe that church still exists till today. There are loads of churches that have been persecuted these days. So the persecuted church, they are commended for gracefully bearing suffering. Loads of commendation for them. They are so persecuted. No single criticism for this church. No single criticism, which means it is possible. It is possible. There are two churches that had no single criticism, which is very, very possible for us to be perfect as a church at this time and age. And then they were instructed to be faithful until death. Then the next church, church number three, is the church at Pergamos. The church at Pergamos, they are the compromising church. They are commended for keep the faith of the Messiah. However, they tolerate immorality, idolatry, and heresies. And that church also exists till today, because all the seven churches, I feel we have a semblance of them. Loveless church. I mean, there's so much lack of love in churches. Now, that's the church of Ephesus, the persecuted church. A lot of churches are persecuted for staying by the truth. Church of Pergamos is the compromising church. Loads of churches these days have compromised. They tolerate immorality, they tolerate idolatry, they tolerate heresies. And I do say my definition of heresy is the truth with a little bit of lie, or lies with a little bit of truth. Because these people will have a way of coining out this thing that make it look like it's the truth, whereas it's absolute lie. Or they are telling lies and just put a little bit of truth there. You now think, it seems like it's sounding like the truth. Those are heresies. So they were instructed to repent. Then the number four church, the church of Thyatira, that's the fourth church. It's actually, the title is the corrupt church. The corrupt church. They had some commendations, actually. They have love. They have service, they have faith, they have patience. Their patience are greater than it was at first. However, they tolerate cult of idolatry and immorality. That was why they were the corrupt church. And they the Lord told them, the instruction to them is that judgment is coming. Keep the faith. Judgment is coming. Keep the faith. Then church number five, the church of Sardis, is called the dead church. As in, so it went from the loveless church to the persecuted church to the compromising church, corrupt church. Now this church is even dead. Although they are commended as some have kept the faith, even in the dead church, there are still a few remnants who are faithful. But the reason is that the church is dead, and they are instructed to repent and strengthen that which remains. And then the Church of Philadelphia, that's church number 6, the Church of Philadelphia is the faithful church. The faithful church, they persevere in faith. They're commended for persevering in faith. They keep the word of the Lord and they honor his name. And these guys have no single criticism. This church has zero criticism. And I think this is the second church, like you said, that have zero criticism. And that's really instructive for me. Zero criticism. That's the Church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. So we can live a perfect, a very, very, very perfect life or a perfect church. We can have a perfect church in this day and age. I so much believe it. We can have a perfect church. And then the number 7 church, the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea is a lukewarm church. The Church of Laodicea is a lukewarm church. They had no single commendation, zero commendation. Their criticism is that they are indifferent. They are not neither hot nor cold. They're just indifferent. They accept anything. Anything goes kind of church. And their instruction is that they should be zealous and repent. So those are the 7 messages to the church, or the 7 the letters to the 7 churches. And this is the most important part of the book for us at this time and age. Even though in the book of Revelation, I really don't know why people are scared of the book or they run away from the book. But most people, quite a significant number of people, the only thing they know about the book of Revelation is 666. Nothing else. And that's just one verse among 23 chapters as in the book. So these chapters 2 and 3 are the most important for the church of this age. God will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's look at the architecture of the book. So after chapter 3, went to tell about the throne of God, describe the throne of God. Then chapter 5 talked about, the throne of God as well. So then chapter 6, started talking about some things, some specific things. So the seals, we went from the 7 seals to the 7 trumpets to the 7 bowls of God's wrath. So those are like I call it the heptadic structure. Heptadic means heptagon or hept, 7 base structure. You cannot exhaust the list of sevens that you have in this book. I can tell you from the 7 churches to the 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 lightnings, 7 bowls, 7, a lot of sevens here and there, 7 years, but a number of things just in sevens are in the book. So we cannot exhaust that. But the architecture of these seals, trumpets, and bowls are thus. When it starts talking about seal 1, start talking about the 7 seals, for instance, it talks from seal 1 to 6. After seal 6, it changes the topic. There's a parenthesis or a change of topic. And that in the seals, the seal 1 to seal 6 was spoken about in chapter 6. Now, chapter 7 changed the conversation. Started talking about something else. So there's always a break between the 6th and the 7th seal. So then, seal 7 was spoken about in chapter 8 and 9. So chapter 8 started talking about seal 7, and inside the 7th seal are the 7 trumpets. When he started talking about trumpets as well, trumpets 1, when he got to trumpet 6, the whole of chapters 8 and 9, go to chapter 6. He changed the topic. He changed the topic again. And this particular time, this parenthesis topic or change of subject is about 5 chapters long, from chapters 10 to 14. So if you are not careful with your reading and just that they're talking about chapter 6, they've changed topic and started talking about the woman and the dragon, the 144, okay, this is chapter 7, I talked about 144,000 seed, talked about Babylon, conquered Babylon falling, talked about the beast out of the earth and the beast out of the sea. So all those things were the change of topic or parentheses between trumpet 6 and trumpet 7. So chapter 15 started talking about the seventh trumpet and then the seven bowls. When it got to bowl number 6 as well, it changed. There's a change of topic as well. But this change of topic is just one verse long, verse 16. Change the topic and talk about bowl 7. So this is the structure, the architecture of talking about seven bowls, seven trumpets, and seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of God's wrath. I also need to mention here, because a number of people have said, I've heard it several times, that the people that miss rapture, they will save themselves with their own blood. That is so far from the truth. There is no other blood that is able to save man other than the blood of Jesus. No blood. So those who miss the rapture are not going to save themselves with their own blood. There's no saving with anybody's blood. It's just going to be people that, and because of time, I don't want to really go into the bowls and things like that. Because of time, I will have shown you that the people that are left behind are actually suffering. It is not just Isaac or now. It is not just those who didn't receive the mark that are suffering. Everyone left behind will suffer. Everyone left behind, it is God that is the main actor of the book of Revelation. I think that's the best way to put it. God is the main actor of the book of Revelation. Any other person, the Antichrist is not the main actor of the book. God is the one acting. God is the one doing all the things he's doing. So don't let anybody deceive you that, don't worry, because now Satanists are saying, that's one of the dogmas of Satanism, the Church of Satan, that they will reign and rule with Christ. They will reign and rule with Satan, with Lucifer in hell. And I'm like, no, sir. Lucifer ain't reigning and ruling in hell. Lucifer is going to be tortured in hell. And it's the church The church has preached this dogma for a while, saying that, you better serve God so that Satan won't beat you. Satan will beat you very well if you don't serve God. If you miss rapture last summer, Satan will beat you. Blah blah blah. Those things are wrong. Those things are not. Those things are not biblical, not scriptural. It doesn't follow what the Bible says. In fact, there is a particular trumpet and the bowl. I think the bowl number five. That was targeted towards the headquarters of the Antichrist, towards where he's ruling from. And they will be in darkness for 3 months, and scorpions, locusts like scorpions, will be stinging those guys that are there, especially those that have not been sealed by the Lord. So even if you get the mark of the beast, you are not immune. You are not, is it immune that I'll call it now? You are not exempted. That's the best thing to use. You're not exempted from the happenings of the end time, the things that will happen at the end time. Hallelujah. Okay, so let me just use the remaining time to look at. I put this as milestones for the end time. I don't know how to do this now for those who are, okay, maybe on Facebook, I'll put the images as comments after the lecture, or can someone on Zoom just help me take a screenshot and put it as comments on our Facebook, pages. And also if you can help me do that on Twitter as well. Okay. Thank you. So let's look at just the timeline, what's going to happen, just to tell you the summary of the whole book of Revelation. That's what I'm trying to do, because you can't do the book of Revelation in 1 hour. That's why, if you see the notice I put out, so I actually said till 8:30 in case we overshoot 8 o'clock. So that at least you know that I warned you ahead. So just bear with me, but we'll try and finish by or around 8, but if it overshoots, just bear with us. So when rapture happens, so this end time, I started with rapture. So when rapture happens, that's stage one, rapture. Stage two, there are two things that will happen concurrently in stage two. Number one, we have a 7-year marriage supper of the Lamb in the air. That's what the Bible says. We are not going to heaven yet at this point, because the Bible says those who are dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive will be caught up to meet with the Lord in the air. So we'll be with the Lord in the air, not in heaven at this point. So I said 7 years, and I put in bracket, or 3.5 years, depending on your school of thought. Now, there are two schools of thought here. There are some people, two schools of thought. One is the pre-trib, the other is the post-trib. Pre-trib means pre-tribulation school of thought. Post-trib means post-tribulation school of thought. So these two different school of thought believe that the rapture will happen before the tribulation starts. So that takes the 7 years. Those are the people that believe that the marriage of supper of the Lamb will be for 7 years. There's another school of thought that believe that the rapture will happen in the middle of the tribulation, before the great tribulation. So those school of thought believe that it's going to be for 3.5 years. But whether it's 3.5 years or 7 years, the most important thing is that this thing will happen. It has been prophesied it will happen. So don't let's split hairs over how long it will be. And at that time, they will not be around. I will not be around. So I don't care how long it takes. I'm sure with Jesus. Okay. So at that same time, there will be tribulation or great tribulation on earth for those who are left behind. So that's either 7 years or 3.5 years. It's also going to be happening on the earth. That great tribulation, like I said, the church has preached for long that Antichrist is the one beating people and torturing people. Yes, the Antichrist will do that because it will make life so difficult for people who don't receive the mark. They will not be able to buy or sell. People must worship the Antichrist. Like I've always been saying when I treat this, that the mark of the beast is not something that will be snuck into the system. They won't sneak it. They won't sneak it from behind. People will gladly choose to worship the Antichrist. It will demand to be worshipped. So forget those who are saying that they are using something to sneak in mark of the beast to your body. It's a lie. People who receive the mark will choose to worship the Antichrist. So they choose. Great tribulation or tribulation around at that time. So, and God is the actor at that time. It is God that is disciplining people. It is God that is making hailstones fall from heaven. It is God that is causing major catastrophes that are going to happen on earth at that time. So after the 7-year period, is done, Jesus will return to the earth with the saints. Remember, we are in the air with Jesus for 7 years or 3.5 years, depending. After that, Jesus will come back with the saints. This is the time that every eye will see him and every knee shall bow to him. This time, this rapture, this stage one, it's only those of us who are born again that will see it and will just be caught up with the Lord. But this stage three, that's actually what's called the second coming. Although a number of people have said, they always interchange rapture to mean the second coming of the Lord. No, the second coming is actually when he comes back with the saints to the earth. That is when all eyes, every eye will see him and every tongue will confess by fire, by force, that Jesus is Lord. So when he comes back to the earth, then the kings of the earth will take up arms against him. Like, this is now the battle of Armageddon. So I've also seen some people that try and scare people. I think, was it when America invaded, was it when America invaded one of the Middle Eastern countries or so, something like that, a couple of years ago. And I saw on YouTube, on every analysis, people are saying, the Battle of Armageddon has started. I'm like, hey, baby. Battle of Armageddon is going to happen way after rapture, at least 7 years after rapture. There will have been one world government. There will have been a lot of things that will have happened during the 7 year, 3.5 years tribulation period. Before, and Jesus will return to the earth. Everyone that is left behind will see him return to the earth. Then the Battle of Armageddon will happen. And human beings will actually believe that they can take up arms, physical arms, gun and bomb and whatever, to fight God. And that's what the Bible says in Psalm 2, that why do the heathen rage and the people imagine it vainting, and the kings of the earth think that they can take up arms against God and against his anointed. But what will happen? The Lord who sits in heaven shall laugh them to scorn. So there, Jesus wins that battle alone. The Bible says he wins the battle with a sword that comes out of his mouth. I know a number of preachers have seen some pictures that show Jesus on the horse, and as the open mouth sword was coming out. Yes, thank God for the artistic representation of that. However, it's not that physical sword that will be coming out of Jesus' mouth. And what the Bible says, his word is sharper than two-edged sword. So it is the word, the same word that created heaven. God just spoke, light be, and light appeared. So Jesus will just speak, die, and they die. Evaporate, and they evaporate. Stop there, and they stop. Freeze, and they freeze. So that's how Jesus, win that battle alone. We are not fighting with Jesus. We are not joining Jesus in the battle of Armageddon. Alone, he wins it and he presses. I mean, there are loads of scriptures about that. So let's go to, we'll quickly finish. They'll finish by 8, I'm very sure. So, and then after that, after the battle of Armageddon, remember that we came back. We are back on Zoom, right? Apologies, internet wasn't cooperating. So I said back to rapture. At rapture, those of us who make rapture will have been changed. We are now immortals at this point. We are now immortal. So we've been changed. We are no longer mortal. We are no longer wearing this body. We're now wearing another body. So when we come back with Jesus on earth, you can also help me, please, screenshot this and send to all the social media platforms for those who are not on Zoom. So when we come back on earth, Jesus established a kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. That's what's called the millennial reign of Christ. So for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Christ here on earth for 1,000 years. That is what the Bible says. That's when the Bible says that when Jesus was telling us that those who have left fathers and brothers and sisters and everyone and houses and lands and lost it because of the gospel, they will get it in a hundredfold here on earth and then in heaven. So this is where we will rule and reign with Christ on earth. Some will be senators, some will be president, some will be local government chairman, just using that figuratively, if that is how the government will be. But there are going to be classes who will rule. Now, also remember that here, we'll rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. At the same time, Satan is bound by the angel in charge of the bottomless pit. Satan is bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So that same millennial reign of Christ, all through that 1,000 years, Satan is in chain in the bottomless pit, not in hell, in the bottomless pit. Although I have said those who send demons to bottomless pits and things like that, but don't let's go there. Because Satan will be bound in bottomless pits after the war of Armageddon at the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. So then, at that same time, at the beginning of that 1,000 years, the duet of the okay, apologies. internet is messing us up. So yes, at that same 1,000 years, if someone can help me post it on Facebook, on the church group on Facebook, I don't know, on the church page on Facebook, I don't know if people are also following. Help me post the screenshots on the church group on Facebook, on church Facebook page. Okay, so at that same 1,000 years, the duet of the Antichrist, if you've been following me in the previous series we've done, we've seen from the Bible that the Antichrist will be two people, the world ruler and his prophet. So those two people will be cast alive in hellfire to be tormented forever. So the Antichrist, in quotes, those two people will be the first occupiers or occupants of hell. The Antichrist, the two guys, will be the first occupier of hell. So that's what happens at that millennial reign. So after the 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be let loose and will deceive the human beings on earth. Okay, now where would these guys come from? These human beings, where would they come from? Let me now explain. Back to the rapture. You know, at rapture, let's go back to the rapture. At rapture, people are left behind on earth. Not all of them will be killed at the Battle of Armageddon. Twitter space. Yeah, okay, we'll do another Twitter space. Please join us again. So not all of them will be killed at rapture. I mean, at the war. Not all of them will be killed at the war of Armageddon, at the Battle of Armageddon. Not all of them will be killed. So there will be human beings on earth after the Battle of Armageddon. When we return with Jesus on earth, there will still be human beings who have flesh and blood in their bone. There will still be those human beings on earth at that time. So at this point, these 1,000 years that we are ruling on earth, so it will be a two-class or two-caste system. Some of us who are immortal and those who are still mortal. There will be reproduction. They will still be doing their normal thing. So there will be two classes. One class for those who fall sick, who are still affected by diseases, who die, who still die, who still feel tired. But those classes of people are ruled by those who don't feel any of those things. They don't feel, they don't know what pain is. They don't know. So it's going to be tough for those who miss rapture. It's not, so forget the 7 years, even the 7 year reign of Antichrist. It's too infinitesimal. These 1,000 years, we will be the ones to set the rules and they must follow it. And remember, we are immortal. At this time, we are immortal. At this time, we so it will not be easy for them. I can tell you that one for free. So after 1,000 years, when Satan is now let loose, because you'll be wondering, who will he deceive? Who will he deceive to fight his war of Gog and Magog at this time? So when he goes and meets the human beings, don't worry, let us, they are headquarters, let's go to them. There's something that they have, maybe a sign that they have, we can find out about what they have and overcome these people. So Satan deceives them, and they come and gang up against the saints who are immortals at this time. So this is the final war against Jesus and us. It's called the War of Gog and Magog. I also heard several analyses that some things that Trump wanted to do at some point is the War of Gog and Magog. I'm like, do people read their Bible at all? So this is after 1,000 years. 1,000 years after rapture, at least 1,007 years after rapture, is when War of Gog and Magog is going to happen. And then, how is this battle fought? By God himself. Fire just comes down from heaven and consume them. Pew! No stories, nothing to write home about on that one. Everybody just gets their judgment. Everybody just eats their breakfast. Let me use that word. So everyone now is dead. That is here now. Everyone is dead. Everyone that doesn't have that is not immortal at this time will be dead. So fire comes out from heaven and consumes them. It is now after this that a new heaven and a new earth will be created. So a new heaven, this earth that we see is destroyed. There are quite a number of things or similarities, or differences, let me say, between this earth and the new earth that will be created. That new earth that will be created, number one, there will be no more sea. So it's not going to be like this earth. It's maybe another dimension, a number of, you can interpret that scientifically as much as you want. So a new heaven and a new earth is created. So now in heaven, the dead, because when we see, when the Bible, we've read this in several burials, and I saw the dead, both great and small, appear before the great white throne, white judgment throne of God. Anybody who appears before the throne of God, the judgment, the white throne of God, the white judgment throne of God is going to hell. That is, I don't just want us, because of time, so that won't be opening Bible and closing. That's why, if not, I will have shown us in total. So anybody at this time who is dead, who is called dead, because if you read that, the Bible says the rest of the dead did not come back to life until 1,000 years was over. So all those who died, maybe at the War of Armageddon, who accept Christ, all those who died during the tribulation who accepted Christ, they will miss the millennial reign. They will come alive here after that 1,000 years. But anyone that is called dead here is only the dead that appear before the throne of God. And they will just look for their name in the book of life, and they are not found, and they are thrown into hell straight. And then they received their sentencing. So what they come to do at the judgment throne of the white throne of God is that they receive the sentence. All of them are going to hell, but there will be varying degrees of sentences. Because, the people that are going to receive this particular punishment and that particular punishment. So then we also were rewarded for the things we've done at that time as well. Then we shall see God face to face. Then while the dead are cast in hell, where the Antichrist, the dwelt of the Antichrist, and where the Bible used a present continuous tense, they are, and they're still born in there after 1,000 years. So then we are with God forever in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem has is Eden restored, but there's more things that are in New Jerusalem that were not in Eden. For instance, the New Jerusalem, in Eden there was one tree of life. In the New Jerusalem, there are several trees of life. So that is the whole happenings in the book of Revelation summarized. Wow, I never believed I could do this in 1 hour. Okay, so do we have questions before we just maybe read the conclusion here and we take, I will pray and we close. Questions anywhere on Facebook? Do we have questions? Thank God for a wonderful and successful end of the study of this manual. I'm so grateful to God that we are one of the few churches that finished on time. Okay, questions? Okay, no questions. Let me just read the conclusion. Revelation is addressed to believers in John's days. However, its message is a loud and clear warning to believers of all ages, most especially for a troubled age like our own time, in which darkness deepens, fear spreads, godlessness, monstrous powers, and appears in an unprecedented manner. The book speaks to our collective consciousness in time like this. It is the conclusion to all the other scriptures. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Revelation is the consummation forever and ever. And Jesus is the key to all history as Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in the absence of questions or contributions, or do you have any comments or contributions before we close the meeting? Thank you very much. Ayola on Twitter, our Facebook audience, I couldn't see. Okay, it's loading. Okay. Ayola Ajayi on Twitter, and other people that joined. I think they've gone now. I mean, it's gone now. I'm trying to see the names of those who joined on Facebook as well. It's taking its time. Thank you, Femi, Elder Michael, Jerry, and all our faithful students for this past 1 year. Today is one of our sister's birthday, Wumi. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. So thank you everybody for joining us for this 1 year. It's really, really, really lovely to have you guys. God bless you in Jesus' name. I pray by the grace of God, we will not miss rapture in the name of Jesus. We'll not miss heaven in the name of Jesus. We'll not be part of those who will who will experience all these things that we're talking about in the end times, in Jesus' name. Thank you very much, everybody. Femi, are you in a quiet place to lead us to close the meeting for us till next week?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your love. Be exalted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to conclude the Bible study for the year. We pray that, Lord, you will strengthen us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Help us to be a doer of your word and for your word to profit us and our families in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bless our pastor and bless Amen. Every one of us in the Amen. Name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed.
Amen. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you so much. Daddy joined us on Twitter. I don't know. I'm trying to bring him on to speak. Daddy, Pastor Toko Dada joined us. Can you say a word, sir? I hope he's able to join us to speak, so to say something. Okay, Daddy, I've invited you to speak. You can just unmute yourself on Twitter. Okay, no problems because of time. Thank you very much, everybody. God bless you. Have a wonderful time. For those of us in Abuja, we are meeting on Sunday by 9 o'clock. It's going to be a Holy Communion service. Come expectant. Those of us outside Abuja, we are actually having something amazing in the cooks, in the works for you. Very, very soon, we'll unleash it by the grace of God. God bless you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful, wonderful time and a wonderful evening. God bless you. Bye.